responsible and less able, but are more vulnerable to this oncoming crisis.
Back in 2020, the Obamas purchased a new house on Martha's Vineyard right on the water for an estimated $12 million. Democrats in Congress are focused on a multi-trillion dollar social spending package after passing a roughly $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure deal a few days ago. This amount of spending has bothered many Republicans, including Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. He appears on Fox Business and says taxpayers should be upset about where their money is going.
Everyone who has been working, they're getting ready to raise your taxes and pay $450,000 to people who illegally crossed our border and entered our country.
President Biden saying that we must compensate illegal immigrant families that were split up at the U.S.-Mexico border under former President Trump. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
This great trend of weather continues, but it's increasingly cloudy, especially as we get to Wednesday. By Thursday, some showers on into Thursday night and Friday. Out ahead of another cold front that's going to deal in some pretty decent, beautiful weather, but chilly weather, too, for the weekend upcoming. Many spots staying into the 50s tomorrow morning. Tomorrow afternoon, sunshine to partly cloudy, increasing clouds, mid-70s. A bit more clouds, but dry yet Wednesday in the high into the middle and upper 70s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Rico's Tires and Wheels offers quality used tires. They fix flat tires, too, and they do wheel repair. Rico's Tires and Wheels, just a few blocks south of Veterans, 2609 David Drive, Metairie, 504-455-5199. Rico's Tires and Wheels, quality used tires. They fix flat tires, too, and they do wheel repair. Just a few blocks south of Veterans, 2609 David Drive, Metairie, 504-455-5199.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. Mike, how's it going tonight, man?
This is an interesting weekend. There's good and bad at the same time, and the good was not quite as good, but I guess we went to New Orleans Nightmare, so that was good.
Yeah, that was fun. We should talk about that a little bit, since they've been a good sponsor of ours for the Halloween season. But They did a special event for the haunted house since it was the week after Halloween. They did it was called Blackout, and you actually you went through the haunted house with no lights on, and you had one glow stick for your entire group. And Mike's wife was the keeper of the flame, as I like to call her. And
she was great at holding on to it.
Yeah, she got it taken away from her three times because they'll sneak up on you and snatch it out of your hand. And so most of the haunted house, I feel like we went through in the dark.
Yeah, pretty much. I have no idea what was going on in there other than, since I was at the back, everybody kept coming up and putting their hands on my shoulders, and I was like, "Yeah, what? Hey, how you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was interesting. Thanks, baby. I love you.
All right, but a good time, and I think she was the perfect person because it did make it a little more fun.
Yes,
laughing at her and them taking the glow stick away, but really cool idea, and I would highly recommend it next year.
And my favorite part. One of my favorite parts was every time Jesse would scream, Jesse had the, you know, when she had the glow stick, she could see more than Brenda could. So Jesse would scream, and about a quarter of the way through Jesse's scream, Brenda would scream as well.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. And then also we were going so slow since my wife is already pretty much blind. And then you take away her glow stick and she can't see anything. So we're going so slow that the group behind us started to catch up to us. And at one point I heard somebody go, "No, where are my people?" And one of the people that works there goes, "We took them." She goes, no, they're right there. They're right there. He goes, "No, we took them." And that was hilarious.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, and a good crowd there too for it being post Halloween. Yeah. And, just a really cool idea, and really, really enjoyed it. Like I said, I would highly recommend doing it again next year. It definitely gives it a new spin. And not to say like it's ho hum whenever you go to the haunted house, because they did change up some of the stuff I noticed from last year. But it's a cool take on it, and just a really good time, and really, really enjoyed it. So we want to thank the good folks over at New Orleans Nightmare and 13th Floor. So yeah, that was definitely the highlight of the week or weekend.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't get any better. It didn't get better on Sunday. That was for sure. Because,
oh my goodness.
I guess that was another, haunted house. What we saw. Cause it was awful scary. What we watched yesterday.
Very good way to put it.
For those of you who don't know, Saints lost to the Atlanta Falcons. That's right, the Atlanta Falcons.
Damn, dark birds.
And really, if you you really only needed to watch the last 10 minutes of the game, because that's when all the Saints had all the action. But I don't even know where if you want to call it action. I don't even know where to begin with this.
It's also when our hearts got ripped out of our chest,
yes.
Which is interesting because I'm wearing my St. Louis Blues sweater at the moment. So
yeah, well, there you go. I can talk about that too, because they if the Saints ripped our hearts out of our chest yesterday during the day, then the Blues stomped on it last night, losing 4-1 to the Anaheim Ducks. Which is about like getting beat by the Falcons. Just there's no rivalry between the two teams, but not a good hockey team for sure.
Got to keep it consistent.
So I guess like the first thing I should say about the Saints yesterday was I'm not blaming Trevor Siemian at all.
No. I don't remember. I don't know what happened after this. I stopped keeping track of it. But once he had 10 pass attempts, he had 5 completions and 5 dropped passes.
Yeah.
So if the Saints receivers could actually catch the ball, he would have been 10 for 10.
Yeah. He still ended the day with 249 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. And truthfully, well, and then you got Taysom Hill's 2 for 2 with 33 yards passing. Yeah. That's probably the highest amount of passing yards we've had all season in a game, I think.
Yeah, probably. I didn't think to look it up, but yeah, probably.
And Alvin Kamara played well. So did Mark Ingram. Ingram had 43 yards rushing. Alvin had 50 yards rushing and 54 yards receiving.
So I guess Ingram's 24, 25, something like that, away from being the number one all-time passing or all-time rusher for the Saints.
Well, and that gives us an opportunity to see it live next weekend when we're in Nashville.
Yeah, I'll come. Yeah, Ingram definitely do it then.
He's just been waiting.
He was waiting for us. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. I mean, I know we're good friends. We hang out all the time, so I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll dive back into the low lights of the Saints Falcons, and we've got a lot of other stuff for you. So come on back.
The 32nd Annual New Orleans Film Festival invites guests to virtually explore over 170 films, plus presenting screenings at the Orpheum, The Broad, AMC Elmwood Theaters, and at the Broadside Outdoor Cinema. The New Orleans Film Festival runs November 5th to 21st. Visit NewOrleansFilmFestival.org for ticket and pass purchase info, film schedule, and how to watch from wherever you are. And just a friendly reminder, New Orleans Film Society members get free passes and great discounts at different levels. Visit NewOrleansFilmFestival.org for more information.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
Window Genie specializes in window cleaning, window tinting, pressure washing, gutter cleaning, and more. Window Genie is locally owned on both sides of the lake. Window Genie gives a streak-free guarantee. And why not transform your home this holiday season with the installation of winter holidays and Mardi Gras lighting the Window Genie way? We are fully insured, so make sure to call Window Genie where we clean windows and a whole lot more at 985-826-4200 on the North Shore and 504-264-5811 on the South Shore.
All right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show. So we were talking about the Saints mishaps, and there was a lot of them. For once, our defense didn't show up, which that was not good. It seemed like that... Our secondary was just pretty much non-existent. Cordarrell Patterson, he ended up with 126 yards receiving, and 64 of it coming on one of the final plays of the game, which I don't understand how you let that happen at that point in the game. I mean, just not a good game.
Yeah, honestly... There were quite a few points in the game where I was like, oh my God, am I watching LSU? And you know, LSU did really good this weekend, but just the way that they have played mainly throughout the last two seasons, is a lot of drop passes, a lot of man-to-man coverage that the guy gets 8 yards of separation from you and things like that. It's like, what? It's like, I've seen this before. Oh, yeah, I saw it yesterday, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, where is the team from last weekend? Where's the team from a number of games this year? Mm-hmm. And I could not get past the idea of, wow, the Saints have done this for years, but it's so much more prevalent this year of we play up to good teams and play down to bad teams.
Yeah, and I guess that means that, they've got a pretty tough stretch ahead of them. They have the Titans, they have the Eagles, they have the Bills and the Bucks coming up. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe then they'll play to all those teams' levels and win all four of them. that would be nice. And then maybe they can break this habit they have of just being up and down all the time. But just bad. I mean, the highlight, I guess, for the defense was they held Mike Davis and Patterson to 18 carries and 23 yards. But the receiving was just, the secondary was just bad yesterday. I know C.J. Gardner-Johnson got hurt. I don't remember him coming back in the game.
No, I saw something yesterday, and honestly, I didn't think to look it up today. But I saw he got carted off, carted out of the game, I guess you could say. He did not have his shoe on. It was something with his toe. Like I said, I didn't think to look it up and see what it was. I don't know if he had a broken toe, if he pulled a muscle. I don't know. But when he was being carted off of the field, he did not have a shoe on. So and that makes me think about the time whenever I was a kid when I broke my foot. I broke my toe, and I didn't realize it was broken until later. I broke it doing Taekwondo, and then I would play soccer on Saturday mornings. And it would take literally about a half an hour to get my shoe off of my foot for the 3 weeks or so before my mom finally said, I think we need to bring you to the doctor, come to find out it's broken. And I was a little concerned when I saw him without a shoe on.
Well, it looks like it was a turf toe injury.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know exactly what turf toe is. I've heard the term
a million times. I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason why he was carted off, it looks like. So, I guess the good thing is we do have some depth that in our secondary, but man, they just got to play better than what they did yesterday. I would say the officiating wasn't doing us any favors, but you know, then we had dumb penalties on top of it. You know, we'd have a big play and then it'd get called back for holding. You just can't. I know at one point they had one penalty for 10 yards called on them, and we had like seven or eight.
Was seven. I remember the graphic you're talking about. But yeah. We had seven. It wasn't for much. It was for like 58 yards or something. Well,
63,
not much,
I think
for
it was.
Seven penalties, but yeah. You know, but if still, they had one, we had seven.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know we got three or four after that, too.
Yeah.
And you just can't. You gotta play better than that. I mean, you can't even against a team like Atlanta. You can't shoot yourself in the foot continually and expect you're going to win. It's the NFL, regardless. Yeah,
exactly. And I know I said this after we lost to the Giants, and I don't feel like it happened, but hopefully, the Saints always have one game per year where they just completely screw up, and then that's the game where they go, oh, wait a minute, we're the Saints, we're good, we can do this. Yeah. Hopefully this is the game that makes them go, oh, wait a minute, we're the Saints. Well, yeah, we don't have Drew Brees anymore, but 90% of the team is elite, and so why don't we just go ahead and play like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, they need to step it up, and hopefully they can turn it around starting next weekend, especially since we're traveling to Nashville to see them play. I really don't want to see that, on a trip that we've spent a lot of money on.
That's a very expensive trip.
Yeah, to see them go out.
I was thinking. I'm sorry.
I said that's a lot of money to watch them go screw around.
Yeah, really. And I was thinking yesterday, right after the game, it's like, well, if the Saints are going to be up and down and up and down, they were up last weekend, they were down this weekend, so that means they'll be up this upcoming weekend.
Right.
So, all right, cool.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. But, they got to pull it together. Also, more news from the Raiders. They just can't get out of their own way. I mean, it's just ridiculous at this point.
Damn you, John Gruden.
they had two first-round draft picks in 2020. They had Henry Ruggs III, and they had Damon Arnett. Neither of them are on the team now, and the latest being Damon Arnett because on Friday he had posted some videos of himself on social media with what looks like an assault rifle and threatening somebody's life.
That's always a good idea. Yeah. I definitely recommend that. Okay, no, I actually do not recommend that.
Yeah, just stupid. And the Raiders general manager, Mike Mayock, he was quoted saying it was a very painful decision. We spent significant time, effort, and resources trying to help him in all aspects of his life. There have been a series of bad decisions over the last year or so, but we cannot stand for the video of Damon with a gun threatening to take a life. The content was unacceptable. Contrary to our values, and our owner, Mark Davis, has been very clear and very consistent that this is not how we will conduct ourselves in this community. The bottom line, the Raiders will not tolerate this type of behavior. Just stupid. I mean, just dumb, yeah. dumb. And actually today, Henry Ruggs will be getting two more felony counts added to the two that he already had, and I think he's looking at 46 years in prison.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So it's just ridiculous at this point, and I think that they need to have a bit of a culture change in their front office. I know they're the Raiders, and you know they've always had that stigma of being the outlaws, quote unquote, of the NFL, but you know, it's not working. Especially you think about the fact that they're in a new city and everything. It's just it's dumb.
Being the outlaws is one thing, but being actual outlaws is not right.
Exactly. Just stupid. And I don't look for any other team to sign. I'd be really surprised, I should say, if another team signs him at least this season, maybe next year. And he'll probably have to do some anger management classes or something, I assume, and
outreach,
right? I would assume maybe he'll get a second chance, but just stupid, no place for it. And if you're gonna do that kind of stuff and threaten somebody's life, why in the hell would you do it on social media?
I mean,
like, why would you put that out there?
The only time you should ever threaten somebody on social media with a gun is with a Nintendo gun in your hand and threatening the stupid dog from Duck Hunt. And I love dogs. They're amazing. But that dog, shoot that dog. That's it.
Right.
<They're> all... dog.
Right. All right. And I did get some good baseball news yesterday. The St. Louis Cardinals set a record with 5 of their players getting gold gloves, 2/3 of their outfield. So that was pretty cool. First time ever in baseball history. So, all right, man, let's take a break. We'll get some news. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the NFL, and I'll let you recap the heartbreaking loss for the Tigers. So we'll be back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this.
The Mayhaw is the craft cocktail bar located in the historic St. Rock Market. Join us every day for happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. and weekly specials like Tiki Tuesdays, Whiskey Wednesdays, and Thrifty Thursdays. The Mayhaw offers local craft brews and a robust and ethically sourced wine selection for enjoyment with your meal on the patio or for carryout. The Mayhaw is excited to present Mayhaw Mobile, a cocktail, beer, and wine delivery service. Learn more at strochmarket.com.
WGSO, from the Buca Ray
to Funchal Square,
things have changed. WGSO, do you know what it means to love New Orleans?
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Moving, redecorating, let New Orleans Habitat help. The New Orleans Restore accepts donations of gently used furniture, appliances, cabinets, and more. Drop off your donation today at one of our two locations, 2425 Williams Boulevard in Kenner or 2900 Allegiant Fields in New Orleans. Or schedule a free pickup online at habitat-nola.org. Your donation helps provide affordable home ownership for deserving local families. Great stuff, great deals, great cause.
Hey, everything old is new again, fans. This is Douglas Viviani with David Cohen. We are changing times on WGSO 990 AM from Saturdays at 1 to 9 a.m. That's every Saturday. Everything old is new again. David, what do you think?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we're kind of morning people more than afternoons, right? We usually nap around 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we run out of gas pretty talking all kind of pop culture, entertainment, celebrity interviews. Wake up New Orleans on Saturdays with Everything Old is New Again, 9 a.m. WGSO.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. The Biden administration's proposal to force a vaccine mandate on companies of 100 or more employees is now in limbo after a stay ordered by the U.S. Court of Appeals in New Orleans. This is good news to Louisiana businessman Brandon Trostler, who brought suit in the case.
I'm excited for my businesses and my employees, and then also, you know, American workers. Just incredibly excited.
Trostler employs about 500 people at his 15 grocery stores in Louisiana and Mississippi. He says the mandate is a terrible overreach for the president or the executive branch. Louisiana's 2018 State Trooper of the Year will take on a new role, inmate. 42-year-old former trooper Jason Boyette of Ponchatoula was sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison after pleading guilty to distribution of child pornography. Boyette will have to serve an additional 5 years of supervised release after his sentence ends. I'm Kevin Gallagher. This is News on LRN.
Hey, it's me, Gus the Gopher for Atmos Energy. Being a gopher, I like to dig. That's what us gophers were born to do, along with eating plants, taunting groundskeepers, and listening to bluegrass music. And I especially enjoy digging around the yard. Occasionally, I bump into a utility line and I get a headache. Ouch! After all, they're hard to miss since they can be buried anywhere. But if you hit one with your shovel, backhoe, or ditch digger, you could cause a gas leak, disrupt service, or worse. Makes me shake in my paws just thinking about it. You can avoid all of this by calling 811 at least 3 business days before you or someone else digs in your yard to have those underground utility-owned lines marked. Calling 811 will help protect your property, and more importantly, you. It's free, and it's the law. You dig what I'm saying? For more on safe digging, visit atmosenergy.com/811.
Never Enough Tattoo at 7405 West Judge Perez Drive in Arabee, right outside of New Orleans. With over 40 years of experience with artists and piercers from Las Vegas, California, and Florida, come to the best. Specializing in custom tattoos, professional body piercing, and real permanent cosmetics. Never Enough Tattoo. Give us a call at 805-423-6362. Make your appointment today. Walk-ins are always welcome.
Enjoy your next happy hour with Roz and the Rocks. Fridays at 1 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM.
My name is Eric Schein. My program is Maritime Matters. Listen in on WGSO 990 AM, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central. I'm a graduate of the Federal Military Service Academy, veteran naval officer with many truths to tell and warnings to give. Talking about history, all things maritime, and much more. Program centers on our water's edge, maritime borders, and international rights of way as integral parts of our important civil defense and national security systems and the maritime dangers we are now facing.
This is Jay Walker, voice of the Raging Cajuns. Catch University of Louisiana Lafayette football right here each week on the community voice of the Crescent City, WGSO 990 AM.
WGSO. Across the Gulf South, a great new way. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Hi, I'm William Wallace. You can hear me live on Tuesday nights at 5 o'clock here on WGSO or see what I have to say on Facebook at William Wallace for America.
All right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. All right, so, you know, as bad as the Saints played yesterday, and getting upset's never a good deal, if there's any silver lining is that we weren't alone in getting upset. There was a ton of upsets yesterday. One being the Broncos beating the Cowboys.
It was nice to see NFL memes on Facebook finally going back to the "Are y'all still them boys?" and showing the quarterbacks that beat them. So that was nice.
The Panthers they got beat by the Patriots, and apparently it was pretty ugly. And Sam Darnold is not in anybody's good graces. He had three interceptions and got called out by the coach in the post game.
Well, but wait, wasn't he the next coming of Drew Brees and Tom Brady at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. And then we had another huge upset was the Bills getting beat by the Jaguars. Yes. And what, I mean, just a terrible game because it was 9-6. All field goals. So if you came to watch a soccer game, you came to the right place.
And I saw a meme earlier today. You remember back after the Nola no-call, the Rams go to the Super Bowl, and they got one field goal, and you had there was memes all over the place with the like the thing you give to little kids in like first grade. It's the shooting star and said, "Congratulations, you did." And then there's a blank where you fill it in. Yeah. And with the Rams, it said, "You score a field goal." I saw that. And it was the same thing, but in the blank, it said, "Congratulations, you won in the United States of America," because this is the first time that they've won in the U.S. as opposed to England since the first game of last year.
Oh,
so
wow.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's crazy. And the Chiefs knocked off the Packers also, which not a whole lot of surprise to that because there was no Aaron Rodgers, but the Chiefs ended up beating them 13-7. You also had another upset was the Titans beating the Rams 28-16, and Tennessee's defense had 5 sacks, 2 interceptions, and a touchdown.
Please, dear God, don't make that happen this upcoming.
Right, get that out of your system.
Yes,
they did.
That's good.
And truthfully, the Ravens, they just barely eked one out because they were losing most of the game to the Vikings, but they did come back and win 34-31. And let's see, also another upset, which I don't know if you can really call it an upset because the Browns have been they've played pretty decent this year, but they stomped the Bengals 41-16.
Poor Joey B.
I know, but yeah, and then you had the battle of the battle of the bads. You had the Texans got beat by the Dolphins 17-9. Houston's actually lost 8 straight games, and that's the longest season, a single season streak they've had since 2013.
Oh God.
Yeah, and I've just looking at some of the fantasy football scores in both of both like our league and then also on my other league.
Please leave my score alone.
I mean, there's a lot of teams with only about 50 points.
Ooh, I'm doing better. I think I got 64.
I think I had 63 in ours, and I won 63-48.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've still got one more guy to play, but I'm not going to win. I don't remember who I have and who Trevor has, but. Yeah, he's got a lot better player than I do. And I have, without anybody playing, I have 37 points to go. So I'll probably lose by about 49 or 50. Yay.
Yeah, it was.
I love my life.
It was just a rough weekend. And tonight the Bears and the Steelers are playing. And that's kind of a toss-up. I would assume the Steelers would win tonight.
I would, too.
However, with how everything has went this week, Who knows? Yeah. Who knows, really?
I guess go Bears. I don't know.
Yeah, but not a good week for most of the NFL. The Chargers, they seemed like they were one of the few teams that actually did what they were supposed to do and won. They beat the Eagles 27-24. And then you also had the Cardinals beat the 49ers 31-17. And if I'm not mistaken, when I looked yesterday, because I was looking at DraftKings, and the Cardinals were the underdog going into that game, I guess because they were on the road in San Francisco. But yeah, they were. I couldn't believe it at 8-1 or 7-1 that they were the underdogs against a 3-5 a 3-4 team. That was just strange.
I feel
strange.
Like that's people taking the under. Well, they lost last weekend. Yeah. Hopefully they'll lose this weekend.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the that rounds out this week in the NFL, and hopefully things get better. Like I said, especially since we're going to be going to Nashville to see the game. So I'm hoping that they play a lot better than they did. So. So Saturday, LSU was a 28-point underdog.
28 and a half.
Yeah. So you want to give your analysis of the game?
Yeah, well, I wasn't able to watch all of the game because we had to go to New Orleans Nightmare, which I say had to. We got to go to New Orleans Nightmare is a better way to put that. But I got to watch the first half and then sporadically during the second half. And I will say LSU showed what they have. And they did it with 9 starters on the defense out. Mm-hmm. And the last time they did this, they did something along these lines, was when they played Florida. Mm-hmm. Florida has fallen on hard times lately. They actually have the same record as LSU now. Mm-hmm. But they were considered one of the better teams in the country at the time. And again, LSU had, I don't know how many starters were out that time, but that was the big story of the week was, there's so many starters out. LSU is going to get destroyed. The second and third string won the game. Mm-hmm. And this week, 9 starters out, and LSU was literally one incomplete pass in the end zone away from winning the game. Yeah. With 50 seconds left. And while they lost, it's kind of a moral victory, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Because they held the, at the time, number 3, somehow now number 2 team in the country to 6 points. Mm-hmm. It was 20-14. And LSU, to be honest, should have won the game, really.
Yeah.
There were, as I said earlier, talking about the Saints, lots of drop passes. One of my biggest takeaways, though, is that Max Johnson, mm-hmm. and I've been saying this a little bit here and there throughout the season, but Max Johnson holds onto the ball way too long.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He'll hold onto the ball for 5 or 6 seconds, which doesn't sound like long, but when you're in a play, 5 or 6 seconds, in 2 or 3 seconds, your receivers get open, mm-hmm. but within 5 or 6 seconds, the defenders now know where they are, and now they're covering them.
Yeah.
And so, there's nowhere to pass now. And he had numerous chances, but he sat there and held the ball too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, though, there's only been a few games this entire season where the O-line has actually done their job to give him that long to be able to throw the ball. Normally, he's running for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing last season as well. He played the last 3 games, I think. Same thing then. He hasn't had time to learn how to go through your progressions. You go through them, when all of a sudden it's time to start going back through them. And you got to do it in 2 or 3 seconds. He hasn't had time to figure that out yet. And so I'm not upset with him, but at the same time, part of me kind of is, I guess. You're Brad Johnson's son. You should know this. But granted, he never played. When Brad Johnson was helping him learn, he had never played in the SEC. So, right. I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted on that. But overall, I feel like the team did very well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things they need to work on, but they did very good considering all of the, you know, Coach O being fired and all this. I feel like next season is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it was, you were right. It was definitely a moral victory. The biggest thing that that stands out to me is the fact that they actually had rushed for over 100 yards with Price.
Yes, but Tyrion Davis Price, 104 yards,
which is a lot better than what they had been doing. So,
yeah,
maybe they can take it and build on it and finish strong for the rest of the year. But we'll just have to wait and see. And we're going to take a break. We'll come back since we're going to be on vacation starting on Thursday. We're going to do some Florida Man to make up for tonight. So we'll be back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this.
Hi, this is Effie Chason with Revolution Realty. I know that buying a home, whether it's your first or fifth time, can be a bit stressful. Let my experience and knowledge make home buying or selling a joyful and memorable experience for years to come. Revolution Realty, now with three locations to serve you: Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Go to RealtyRevolutionNola.com or contact us at 504-309-7224. Come on and join the movement.
Rebecca Chapman, who is the general manager, Jimmy Setchum, who is the executive chef at Broussard's Restaurant, one of the most beautiful restaurants in New Orleans, because Broussard's is a true New Orleans restaurant, and you guys are both New Orleanians.
It's such a pleasure and an honor to be a part of the history and culture at Broussard's.
If you haven't been there lately, you need to correct that problem. Get over there. They got the 1920 special, which is the date of the founding of Broussard's, on wines and on food.
Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti, in the heart of the French Quarter.
Join me, Mitch Gibbs, in our exciting 10th season of covering Saints football in the Red Zone, where we talk Saints football. We'll be on WGSO Radio 990 AM and on the internet at www.wgso.com, where we'll talk Saints football live in the downtown Hilton Riverside Hotel in the world-famous Spirits Bar in the lobby of the hotel.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans. WGSO, New Orleans News Radio. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Hi, this is Barbara Hirsch Napolitano. Join Tracy Napolitano and I every Friday from 5 to 6 on WGSO 990 AM for It's Always Better with Bourbon. Need a great bourbon recipe for the weekend? Want to know what the newest best bourbon is? You want to hear what a master distiller does? Those are some of the things we're going to be talking about. So join us every Friday, 5 to 6. We'll see you there.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
Maybe your portfolio should resemble your dinner, slowly cultivated, locally produced, and sustainable.
Join us at 5 p.m. Mondays for the Slow Money Show, WGSO 990.
Join me, BJ Rust, every weekday at 6 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show. We'll talk sports, music, current events, everything in between. That's weekdays 6 p.m. only on WGSO 990 AM.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show. As I said before the break, that we're going to be taking a bit of a break so we can go to Nashville. So we are going to be gone Thursday, Friday, and Monday of next week. So I figured we should probably do some Florida Man tonight to make up for it. So Anthony, why don't you send us to Florida?
Down to Florida. Welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida.
All right. So let's get this started. So we're going to go to Madison, Florida. And this comes from News Channel 8 out of Tampa. And the headline is, Florida man tried robbing Waffle House with finger guns, the sheriff says. A Florida man was put in jail Monday after he decided to improvise during alleged robbery at a Madison Waffle House. According to deputies, the Madison County Sheriff's Office said a Waffle House employee called them to the restaurant after a man identified as 28-year-old Edward William Rodriguez of Madison tried robbing them. Sheriff David Harper said witnesses told deputies that Rodriguez entered the Waffle House with a small dog, pointed his hands into finger guns, and yelled, "Get on the ground, y'all are getting robbed." Rodriguez then said he was high and drunk before grabbing some napkins and leaving the store. Deputies found the would-be armed robber at his home, where he admitted to robbing the restaurant of its napkins, according to the sheriff's office, and now he faces charges for unarmed robbery and assault.
Of course that happened on a Monday night, because it's Florida and Waffle House, so yeah, of course.
Yes. I mean, you gotta love Florida.
There's so many things that could be said about this, but we don't have time. And so just use your imagination to imagine what we would say.
What a dumb thing to do. I mean, obviously it's stupid, but like, he's going to end up going to prison over stealing some, or not even, I mean, napkins are free, so I don't know how you're really stealing them. But just for doing something like that.
At least wear a hoodie with a pocket in the front so you can point your finger inside the pocket, make it look like you have a gun. Right. Or you're just going to stick your fingers out like bang, 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 bang. You know, I mean, what? Really? What?
Pew, 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 pew. I hope that was more the noise he was making.
Oh,
awesome.
That would have been hilarious. Oh, God. If I had a time machine, I would go back in time and be in that Waffle House at that moment.
And this one is just, this next one is also, it comes from News 8 and Tampa, but
Tampa's got the scoop on everything.
Yeah, this is just, only thing I can say is only in Florida. The headline reads, Florida woman defends posing in front of her dad's open casket in Instagram photos. I mean, taking selfies in front of anybody's casket, let alone your father's casket, open casket. My God. This was in Miami. A Florida woman is defending herself against online backlash after photos of her posing in front of her father's open casket went viral. Miami influencer Jane Riviera posted the photos of her with her father's casket after a viewing last Sunday. While the photos don't show her late father's body, the photos do show her in several poses, one of them with her hands folded in a praying position while looking at the camera. Despite the backlash, Rivera told NBC affiliate WTVJ that she didn't think she had done anything wrong. I'm looking at the she was quoted as saying, "I'm looking at the comments. They're just hateful and abusive," she said in the interview with WTVJ. "I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with what I was doing. You couldn't see him in it." Rivera said her father was an Army veteran who served in Afghanistan and would take many of her previous photos for social media before his death. Rivera's Instagram has been disabled following the backlash, but WTVJ reports that an Instagram spokesperson said the account was suspended for violating other guidelines, not the casket photos.
And I gotta say, when you first said the title of the article, my first thought was Instagram killed the radio star. And I feel like that was kind of pertinent there. So
yeah, I just, come on. I mean, you got to have more sense than that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's so ridiculous that they use that bit on Eastbound and Down. Like, yes, whenever when his friend passed away, you know, he was taking pictures with him.
Season two.
Season.
The guy with the big jacked up truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever season that was.
Three.
There you go.
Yeah, when his friend, Shane died. Yeah.
Yeah.
And him and Stevie were taking selfies next to the casket. I mean, that's so ridiculous that it was in a comedy. So there you go.
Yeah. And it's a comedy that is literally, like, it's intended to be the most irreverent that it can possibly be. And they did this exact same thing.
All right. And, you know, I always love, there's something I've noticed since we started doing this bit a long time ago, was that in Florida, they like to use machetes and swords for some reason.
Yes, they do.
And they also like to stab people, beat people up, or shoot people over food a lot. This lady, and I'm going to use that term loosely, this comes from ABC 3. I don't know where that's out of, but the incident happened in Escambia. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Escambia.
That is Pensacola, Florida. That's where we used to go whenever I was a kid for vacation. So I know Escambia. I've been in Escambia County many times.
Okay, well, Escambia County, Florida. And the headline is, Florida woman arrested for hitting her ex-boyfriend with a machete. On Wednesday, a 37-year-old woman, and it looks like according to her mugshot, like it looks like she's probably never had meth.
She's never touched that stuff. I feel like she's been hit by a machete a couple times.
It looks like it. So on Wednesday, a 37-year-old woman was arrested and charged for allegedly hitting her ex-boyfriend with a machete, stealing items, and damaging his television. According to the report, deputies responded to a home on Cray Road and made contact with the victim. The victim stated that his ex-girlfriend, Lisa Boyington, came to his resident. Boy, whoever did this article did not know how to spell.
Editors are very hard to come by these days.
Apparently, Lisa Boyington came to his residence and had an argument. The report states that during the argument, Boyington struck the victim's hand with a machete and put her, they typed out her hands around his, there's three grammar mistakes I've already
we're
came
literally on the fourth paragraph, and each paragraph is one sentence.
Yeah, and put her hands around his neck. After the victim was hit, he ran inside his house and found his TV damaged and items stolen. The report states that the victim said that he was at a friend's house earlier that day, and Boyington came to the residence. An argument occurred, and Boyington allegedly bit him on the chest. They also noted in the report deputies found a sling blade and a pickaxe on top of a shed at the victim's residence and a cut mark. Right. And a cut mark in the hood of his lawnmower allegedly caused by the machete. This is just a weird, like everything about this is just why.
This is one of my most favorite stories in the 5 years we've been doing this show. I love this. It's hilarious.
Boyington is charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, grand theft, criminal mischief, and battery. She's currently in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. I mean, the only thing I can say is she's just messing around.
I love this story. The part that really got me was Boyington allegedly bit him on the chest. Like, what? How? What? Yeah. What is the thought process that leads to leaning over and biting somebody on the chest?
It's a very good question. One I don't have an answer for, and I think that's why it's just called Florida. So that's going to do it for us. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back with more of the Something to Say radio show tomorrow night. And until then, we're just going to play Gloria.